Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence. Now back to the Evening Rush with Earl Ingram on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Sheriff Clark in studio. Earl.
I'm still hanging, man.
Yeah, TJ, appreciate, again, the opportunity, and thanks for being here, because it's a little tougher than it looks. Sometimes people think, well, talk radio, just get up there and talk, right? And, but, you know, we'll get through this thing. I got some great guests. I've got some interesting topics that we're going to pursue this afternoon. I think you'll enjoy it, and you know, we'll see where this takes us. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to Vincent. Vincent, welcome to the Evening Rush. You're on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Good evening, Sheriff Clark.
Good evening,
and Earl.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I know most of you guys know that I'm a long-time listener to 1290, and one of the things I enjoy about this station is that you guys have never been afraid to be innovative, to think out of the box, and also to challenge this community. The fact is, I think this is one of the things that I love about this station. And I think it's a great move that Sheriff Clark will be a part of the 1290 family. And regardless of his point of view or not, the fact is, if you're, you know, to me, it's very childish. When an individual can't defend his opinion, and the only thing that he can resort to is childish games and begin to call names and try to talk down the host or try to deal with him on that particular level. So, but I think it's a great move you guys made. I think it's a great move that when you guys went to an all-talk format, when you put Joe McNally on the morning drive, I don't agree with him all the time, but I enjoy that he's there. And so to put Sheriff Clark on, I think, is an excellent move for this station. And I thank you for it.
Well, thank you, Vincent. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate the kind words. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, there's a new black thinking that's emerging that will truly live out the dreams of some of our forefathers to be independent thinkers. That's what they fought for. That's what the struggle was really all about. I mean, it was Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist, who said, and I quote, "Worth and ability are to be the criterion of manhood, not race and color." And I believe that more and more black people in the 21st century in larger numbers share these same thoughts to be independent thinkers. And I'll continue to say a plurality of voices in our community, in our city, in our county, in our state, in our world is a good thing.
And, you know, let me also add, just in case someone missed, you know, so Sheriff Clark will come in from time to time, pending availability, pending schedules, pending we need him to come in, or if he's coming in as a guest. So, you know, you won't hear him all the time. You'll hear him here, you'll hear him there, but we will have a voice heard, his voice heard on the radio station. So we can go back to the phone lines if you have any questions or comments. 799-1290.
Let's go back to the phones. George, how you doing? Welcome to the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Good evening, Sheriff Clark, Earl, and TJ.
Yes, sir.
You know, Vincent just took almost everything out of my mouth, said everything that basically I wanted to say. And we all may be black, but that don't mean we all think alike, you know. I don't always agree with Earl. I didn't always agree with Eric. Not always with Joe. But the thing that I find interesting with the program is that I'm not even going to bring it. I'm just going to say those right-wing talk show hosts or programs, they would never, ever do anything like this. If you don't agree with their opinion, that's it. So I think this is going to be something very interesting. I, for one, will not stop listening to 1290, and I'm just say kudos to, I don't know if that was your idea, TJ, or not, but whoever thought of it, I thank you. Just like you said, when you put Joe on the show, it just brings a different perspective. And, you know, again, I'm just going to say we don't all think alike. So, you know, Sheriff Clark, let's see where you take it, and good luck to you guys.
Thanks a lot, George. Well, I appreciate the comments as well, and that's part of that new black thinking that I'm talking about.
What is the black thinking? when you said it the first time, Earl looked like, yeah, the black thinking. I'm like, what is the black thinking?
Well, our opinion.
And do you just have the black thinking on 1290?
probably one of the few places.
Well, she's going to challenge you. You better get used to that. If you say a couple words,
well,
she's going to
what I mean by that is some of the prevailing orthodoxies, the prevailing dogma that exists, I think is becoming a thing of the past, and that's where people, too many people, think that we're too predictable in our way of thinking and some of our associations and what we should do, what we should say, and how we should be. And that's the new black thinking that I'm talking about, that we're diversifying. We're spreading out, and that plurality that I talked about before, I think it's healthy. I think it's only going to make us better people, a better community.
Question might sound crazy, but so do you have black thinking only around black people? I'm still trying to grasp this.
I told you she's gonna come at you.
I'm trying to, you know, because I would think it would just be a new way of thinking.
Well, the reason I say that is because for too long, and maybe I'm caught up in it as well, you know, we're pigeonholed, mm-hmm. and about, you know, the positions we take, the things we say, the things we think about, the things we do, where we go. I don't have a problem calling it black thinking. I mean, it's part of, you know, I'm part of the culture. I embrace it. So, you know, when you hear some of these things that are mentioned and will be mentioned from time to time about a new orthodoxy out there and how we approach life, and there's nothing wrong with it taking on its own identity as a new black thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
What's interesting is, with this format, we're talk, and, you know, just because the majority of our staff here, people in the media perceive us as black talk, but, you know, we are a talk station, so then that's why that whole thing, you know, because I'm trying to understand this whole color thing. Well, of course, I know that all in this room, we are all black sitting here at this table, but I don't consider us a black talk station, but we serve the black community.
Without a doubt, and I think Urban is the moniker put on it, Urban Radio. I don't know where that comes from, but that's, you know, what you hear.
Yeah.
And then it's its own identity, and there's nothing wrong with taking on an identity.
Mm-hmm.
But when people start to, I think where it starts to go wrong is where people start to expect that, you know, that's what you're going to hear out of that radio station. And that's what you know, and then all of a sudden somebody says something different, and it's like, whoa, you know, that's not what he's supposed to think. That's not where he's supposed to appear. He's not supposed to be on that radio station. And, I don't know. I've always felt that that's counterproductive. And, you know, at some point we need to move forward. You know, if we continue to just dwell on the past, we'll never get to see the future. And that's what I'm about. I mean, when all is said and done, and we're all going to die. We know that from the time we're born. And I don't care what anybody wants written on their headstone. The only thing I want said about me is that he lived life the way he wanted to. And, you know, if I didn't live up to people's expectations during my lifetime, I'm not going to apologize for that. The only expectations that I feel that I need to live up to are my own expectations about myself, my wife's expectations about me as a husband, and my mother and father's expectations of me as a son. Other than that, it's not that I don't care about anybody else's expectations, but I'm not here to live up to that. And if I fall short of somebody else's expectation, and if I miss the mark a little bit, and if I disappoint people,
you'd be human.
I was going to say such is life.
And we will go back to the phone lines in just a second. But I'm just curious to know, and I do know what you plan to talk about today, and what you will still do on the program today. But some of the issues that you would actually find of benefit for you to bring to the forefront on 1290. Give us an example of some issues that you would think that would be important for you to address here on this radio station.
Well, things such as public policy issues, you know, like the school governance thing, which I hope we get a chance to get into. You know, there's always political issues, but there are things going on every day. There's current events. I mean, I hope to have time to talk about this Vincent High School situation if we don't run out of time. So, you know, there's, like I said, there's the current events, long-standing discussions that'll go on. And then some interesting just general life things. I know you were asking me a couple weeks ago, TJ, about, you know, what do I do in my spare time? I mean, if there's such a thing. And you asked me why, you know, had interest in getting into radio, so on and so forth. And I talked about it like framing an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a lot of spare time, but I try to keep life simple. I do a lot of reading, so I like, you know, time alone to do that. And I read a variety of things. I'm into dog training. I own a dog.
You do have a dog. Oh, yeah, you said you go out and walk with your dog.
I was
trying to get some fitness tips because, you know, this man is pretty fit. So you say you walk, like, how many miles a day?
4 miles in the morning. I got a Rottweiler. I got to get his road work in. It's really more for him than me, and I'm into dog training. This is my fourth Rottweiler, not all at the same time, thank heavens. But these are big, powerful, strong dogs. They're very alpha. They want to be the pack leader, and you cannot allow a dog of that nature, of that size and strength, to be the pack leader. You have to be, and you have to work at it, and more importantly, you have to know what you're doing. So I reach out, train with trainers, but do a lot of reading on dog psychology. I'm fascinated by the animal kingdom.
What's your dog's name?
Zookas.
Zookas.
Yeah.
So, since you are a dog lover, then how did you feel about, I don't even want to get into Michael Vick,
please.
But, you know, he's back on the field now. But did any thought on him being back on the field?
Well, no. You know, he did his time. He paid his dues. He should be allowed to move on. We're a second chance society. I thought what he was engaged in was abhorrent. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I know some people did, but I won't, because of my affinity and affection for the animal kingdom, you know, specifically dogs, but I love horses as well. And it's a neat connection when you can connect with a dog. And the interesting challenge is dogs don't understand English. So it makes you come outside of your own comfort zone, where we're used to dealing with people using our voice. I mean, that's how human beings communicate. You can talk to a dog all you want. Now, they hear sounds, and they associate, and I don't want to, you know, spend a whole, that's a whole other segment, but.
Because I was thinking they kind of do understand, because they listen, and they will obey.
No, dogs are about one thing. They're about energy, okay? They sense energy, and if you bring energy, they will feel that, and they will allow you to be the alpha, to be the pack leader. If they sense negative energy, TJ looking at me like,
because I have a little puppy at home, so I'm listening.
Like
if they sense negative energy or weak energy, they will move in and take over. And like I said, you can't. It's irresponsible to own a dog. My dog weighs about 105 pounds. He's 2 years old. He's still got a lot of puppy in him. That dog, when he wants to, can pull me around, and he's going to win that battle. And so I have to use, you know, this energy that's created when you become alpha in his world.
You really get into this.
Oh, huh? You're darn right. Anybody wants a great book on the subject of animal psychology, it's called The Dog's Mind. I don't remember who the author is. And there's another one, How Dogs Learn and How Best to Train Them. So that's another thing that I do, and I like to spend time with. And it's a lot of time. You know, like I said, every morning I was up at 6 o'clock this morning. We get on the road. We get it done early. And then we train at night, and it's an ongoing thing. You don't stop. You can't. You don't get a dog trained and say, "There, I'm finished." There's no finish line to it. So I enjoy that. I enjoy being challenged by him, because I can't really. You're not going to communicate. You can say sit, and he'll sit, but he doesn't understand the word sit. He understands the sound, and you teach an action with that sound.
Mm, okay, we don't have to stay there. I didn't know that, though. So let's go back to the phone lines.
All right, let's go to Troy. Troy, welcome to the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
TJ Earl, hello. And
how's Sheriff going, Troy?
David Clark.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least. I can't wait to listen to some of the spirited discussions that I'm sure that you're going to have here coming in the future. But what I do think is that, as many of the other callers have said, is this is a very out of the box choice, and one that I think that is innovative, because of course I would tend to agree that perhaps maybe sometimes we do all kind of agree in the same direction sometimes as a community. Sometimes that's good, actually. I mean, I think individuality is good to a particular point. When it gets in the way of community and being together as a community, well, that individuality can sometimes be a problem if it's not the better for the betterment of the community. But Sheriff Clark, I wonder about some of the things that you're going to be talking about coming in the near future. Will you be talking about President Barack Obama and policies that he's putting forth, like health care?
We're going to talk about a lot of things. Thanks, Troy, and thanks for tuning in. I think you'll enjoy it, and it'll be thought-provoking. I'm not here to, be a lightning rod and try to irresponsibly provoke a reaction out of people. But what I mean by thought-provoking is it's going to challenge people's positions. I'll expect mine to be challenged as well. And I think we can learn from each other. It's not about coming to an agreement. For some people it is, and that's fine. But it's not about coming to an agreement. It's about sharing ideas. It's about competing interests. It's about different schools of thought. Because I still maintain, and I have for a long time, that there are no truths in any of these things we talk about, whether it be politics, whether it be life, whether it be what's best for, because I know, Troy, you mentioned that, what's best for the community. I would ask right off the bat, well, who makes that determination? I don't know. And I'm not saying it should be me, but I don't know who it should be. So the thing is, to get some discussion going, and like I said, I'm here to frame opinions. And if I'm sitting in front of the mic, well, then, I get to frame mine. I'll take calls, and we'll listen to each other. And I'm encouraged that the last few callers have acknowledged, and Vincent was one of them. Troy mentioned this stuff shouldn't denigrate into what it does too often. I just think that's counterproductive. And when that happens, you know what? I respect people's passion and respect their opinion. But when those things happen, I'm not going to let it denigrate to the point where it just turns counterproductive. We'll just move on.
799-1290 is the number to dial if you'd like to get in.
1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. It is 421. We have to go to a break. Stay tuned. Sheriff Clark in with Earl Ingram and TJ.
This portion of the Evening Rush is being brought to you by Samster, Conkle, and Safran. Wearing your seatbelt has been shown to reduce injuries or death, but did you know that not wearing your seatbelt may cost you 15% of your recovery in an accident case? This legal tip was being brought to you by Samster, Conkle, and Safran.
celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence. Now back to the Evening Rush with Earl Ingram on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Sheriff Clark, thanks for joining us. 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town, the Evening Rush. We're going to change it up a little bit here and get into some of the issues and some of the things that I want to talk about. I want to introduce my first guest today, and it's Corey Nettles. Corey is no stranger to this radio station. He's no stranger to this community. Corey is the founding and managing director of Generation Growth Capital, Inc. He recently served as secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Commerce. And at the Department of Commerce, he managed one of the state's largest agencies with 450 employees, and he has a experience in a wide range of matters, including private equity and venture capital. He's a renaissance man, as far as I'm concerned. He's a law school graduate, University of Wisconsin, I believe. Corey, good afternoon. Thanks for being patient, and welcome to the Evening Rush.
Well, good afternoon, Sheriff. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Corey, the thing I wanted to talk to you about is this emerging and it's ongoing, and it's going to go on sometime, this issue of really a public policy shift in how we operate K-12 public education in the city of Milwaukee and the proposed mayoral governance of MPS. And as you know, education in America has always been politicized, and I believe that's one of the problems in trying to enact reform, which we're all in agreement, I believe. I'm not speaking for everybody, but I've listened to a lot of voices in this, and everybody believes that we need to do something different. But there are some issues that the listeners of this radio show have raised, people I've talked to, that feel left out of this thing thus far. And I believe that you're in support of a mayoral, I'm not going to call it, let's call it governance of MPS. But there are a lot of competing interests in this. There's the teachers union. There's the state legislature. For instance, there's parent groups. There's community groups. Why do you think this movement toward reform is meeting with the resistance that it is?
You know, I think anytime you talk about changing the status quo, and there are people who always are invested in the status quo for any number of reasons, some legitimate, some not. Anytime you talk about changing that status quo, the people who are invested in that system are going to resist it. And there are a lot of interests in education that are very invested in the status quo. And I'm not surprised that there is resistance to this. Well, and I don't mean to suggest that all those interests and all that resistance is not without basis. There's some legitimate concerns out there, but people get very invested in the status quo.
Okay, and, you know, from the perspective of the minority community, what I'm hearing is they're not happy that they haven't been consulted up front. Some of their concerns are going to have to be assuaged in order to get them on board. Any one of these groups can stop this from happening, as you know, whether it be someone in the state legislature, whether it be a parent group, whether it be the teachers union. What is the plan to get consensus so that we can move this thing forward? Because it is going to take change in Madison, and right now the delegation from Milwaukee is not totally on board with it. So what is the plan to close this gap between what kind of structure we should have running MPS?
Both the mayor and the governor are really, you know, I think you've seen this a lot over the last couple of weeks, significantly increasing their level of community outreach and engagement to have a broad policy discussion about what should reform in Milwaukee look like. You know, I certainly understand and respect that there are a lot of parents and surrogate parents and interested people in the community who are legitimately concerned about the education of the children in our community. And if you're talking about making a drastic change that impacts that education, you certainly have to engage the community in a discussion of what it is you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you will get different outcomes, better outcomes, under whatever the new system is. And there needs to be some space for a reasoned policy discussion about those things. And I think that's a very legitimate concern. And anytime you're undertaking any kind of major policy initiative, health care, as we're seeing in the national environment, tax policy, whatever, there needs to be significant community engagement. The governor a couple months ago said out loud, you know, to the editorial board, at the Journal Sentinel, I'm not happy with what's going on and what's affecting the children of Milwaukee. We can do better by them. I, the governor, have been looking at this issue nationally, and I think that one of the best alternative forms of governance is to have some form of, you know, mayoral takeover, I'll call it, whatever you want to call it. And he put that idea out there to spark this public policy debate. Then, you know, the mayor, unfortunately, ended up being unavailable because of the tragic incident that befell him. So he was out of commission. The governor was on a trade mission to China. So we had a rocky start to that level of community engagement. I think now the good part about all of this over the last couple of months is that people are engaged and are expressing very strongly held views. Some people's mind is very open to having a policy discussion about what the best means of educating our children is, what the best governance model ought to look like. And I think that's all healthy. Most people are saying we are not supportive of the status quo, and that is also a good thing. I think we need to have more people saying we're not supportive of the status quo, and if we don't like what the mayor and the governor are proposing, then what is our alternative? And I haven't heard a lot of other ideas that have yet emerged. I am firmly in support of the mayor and the governor's view that we need major governance reform, because I believe our current system is fundamentally broken for reasons I'd be glad to talk about. So I think we're going to continue to see over the next several days, few weeks, significant engagement by the mayor and the governor with the community to talk about what and why and how. And that's a good thing. That's a necessary thing. I think we all respect that.
436, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town, the evening rush. I'm Sheriff Clark, and I'm on the phone with Corey Nettles, and we're talking about the proposed governance change structurally with the Milwaukee Public School System. And that leads me to the next thing I want to ask about, because that's been raised as well. People are suspect of the timing of this. Before we get into that, Corey, if you can stick around a little bit, we're up against a break. So, again, 437 now, and if you could stay with me, I'd like to get your take on the timing of this. 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Stay tuned.
This is Dr. Pamela Thomas King.
And Dr. George King.
For many years, you have heard how our team of professionals at...
Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence, the Evening Rush on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Sheriff Clark on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. And I'm on the line with Corey Nettles, and the issue of mayoral governance, or a change in how we govern the K-12 public education system in the city of Milwaukee, specifically MPS. And, you know, before we went to the break, Corey, I talked about the timing of this. That's what is being raised. It's raised some suspicions. I'm suspect a little bit myself as to the timing of this. You have Governor Doyle, who announces this just like weeks before he announced he's not going to seek re-election for governor. And then you have him joined by Mayor Barrett. And the thing that strikes me is odd. You know, 7 years in the governor's mansion in the state house, and for the mayor, about six, going on 7 years as mayor of the city of Milwaukee, and there didn't seem to be a sense of urgency. They all knew how important it was. They knew something needed to happen with MPS to turn that school system around, and we didn't hear much other than the proverbial, you know, we have to do better, something needs to be done. And then all of a sudden, on the way out the door, the governor proposes some huge policy shift. And, you know, talk to me a little bit about the timing. And, you know, some people see this as nothing more than a power grab. Some people say follow the money, it's a money grab. What's your comment
I just respectfully disagree with people who hold that view. I mean, you can always find a good conspiracy behind every idea and every initiative if you work hard enough to find a conspiracy. You know, Tom Barrett floated this idea 2.5 mayoral elections ago and was beat back in the context of that idea being floated during his campaign because people reacted then the way they're reacting now, and in the context of his campaign, he didn't want to take that issue on at that time. You know, there's been just a proliferation of initiatives focused on education in the last, you know, year and a half that have ranged from people pushing a seed school, people pushing, you know, expanding choice and charter. There's been the McKinsey report. There's been the deteriorating fiscal crises at MPS. There's been a confluence of factors that I think made it precipitous that this happened now, but this is an idea that has been discussed in different parts of our community publicly for several years. You now have this MPS crisis continuing to grow every single day. It is a fiscal crisis. It's a crisis of leadership. It's a crisis of government. It's governance. It's not sustainable. So it is more precipitous every day that something must occur. You have a governor who's saying, okay, I'm deciding not to seek reelection. I consider, as he always has, considered himself the education governor. He's also thinking about his legacy, and he's saying, in the amount of time that I have left, what do I want to spend my political capital on? What do I want my legacy to be? What's, as the education governor, what's the glaring education challenge that remains yet untackled? So I can understand him in the context of his legacy wanting to make a significant contribution there. You know, certainly the mayor has, through McKinsey, through his advisory group, continued to wrestle with this. I remember a conversation I had with the governor on June 30th of last year of 2008, where we had a conversation about governance, you know, that certainly predated, you know, this current announcement. So you can find a conspiracy here if you want to fabricate one. I can tell you that these were people of goodwill, of good intention, grappling for a policy solution that would be a game changer. If not now, when? There's never going to be a perfect time to do this. Whenever it's done, someone is going to question the timing of when it's done on that day, whether that's 5 years ago or 5 years from now. So it wasn't, you know, a bunch of people sitting in the back room playing parlor room politics saying, let's launch this and spring this on them and play gotcha. It was just a confluence of political and policy and economic factors that said we have a district in crisis and we have to act. And when you look at where the governor was and his planned retirement from office, look where the mayor was in terms of this fiscal train coming down the tracks at him as it related to MPS, this is when they decided to act. But this wasn't a new idea cooked up, you know, a month ago. They've been grappling with and wrestling with this policy initiative for some time. Many of us in the community have spent the last several years tracking what's going on in Chicago, tracking what's going on in Boston, in New York, in D.C., where they have played with some form of mayoral governance with varying degrees of success. So this isn't new. So, you know, I respectfully disagree with those people who see conspiracy. For those people who want to make this a race issue, I very strongly disagree with that view. And at any time, you know, with enough creativity and imagination, you can come up with a good conspiracy.
446, Sheriff Clark, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Evening Rush, and I'm joined by Corey Nettles on the issue of MPS governance. One of the things that's been asked as well, is there doesn't seem to be a written comprehensive plan. There's been some concepts thrown out, some ideas thrown out. And when I talk about a plan, you know, something that is going to chart out where we're going, how we're going to get there, and once we get there, what are we going to do? And when asked about this, like I said, we hear some general concepts. MPS has always been the elephant in the room. And, you know, my theory on how you deal with an elephant in the room, if you're asked to eat it, you eat it one spoonful at a time. So I think it's fair for the people to ask for a plan, you know, one that they can go over and digest and understand before we turn this, you know, $1.1 billion system, you know, over to the basically the control of one individual. Is there a written plan, a stair step that outlines this thing that people can take the time to read, digest, and then maybe ask some questions off of?
Well, it depends on what kind of plan we're talking about. When I hear the plan argument, I hear it in two contexts. One plan is there a plan to talk about what the new governance model will look like and what the legislative process is for getting us there? There's a set of plan questions around that. And then I hear the questions about, okay, assuming that the mayor had control of MPS, what is his plan for getting different educational outcomes in the classroom? So I don't know which plan you're asking about. Let's assume that we're talking about the latter. What's the plan to get better educational attainment in the classroom? Now, I've had been in the room a lot when the mayor's talked about this, and I think he answers that the right way. What he says is, look, I'm not an education expert. What I will do as the CEO of Milwaukee and of MPS is I will go out and hire the subject matter experts and will tell them that these are the resources that they have available to them, and I will say to them, with these resources at your disposal, you tell me, I'm hiring you to get the best educational outcomes for these children possible. What, Mr. Expert, Ms. Expert, do you recommend we do to close the achievement gap for reading, to close the achievement gap for math? And I think it's fair for the mayor to say, I got to go out and recruit the national expert in education who will tell me, Mayor, here's 123 things that we're going to do, sub A, sub 1, sub B, sub 2, to get different educational outcomes. I don't think it's fair to ask the mayor to be the education czar or expert. But certainly, from that bully pool and with those resources, he can go out and hire those experts who will help him get to those educational outcomes. And that's what you expect chairman to do. Of any corporation, of any organization. You know, they can't be the CFO, they can't be the VP of HR, they can't be the lawyer. You know, they're going to be the broader orchestrator, facilitator, they're going to be the person accountable at the end of the day, but they're going to go out and hire those subject matter experts. So what I'd say and what I've heard the mayor say, which I think is reasonable, is once he has this and he has the resources at his command, he will go out and recruit a nationally renowned education expert who will come in here and help him develop a plan to get different educational outcomes in the classroom. What he'll also say, and I think this is credible, he said, I did the same thing when I was deciding to hire a police chief. He said, I was no expert in community policing, but I did a national search. I found Chief Flynn. I dragged him out here from Massachusetts, and he's gotten good outcomes, you know, the mayor and the chief would argue, as relates to crime in our community. So I think that's how he would argue the plan question, and I think that's a reasonable response.
Okay, let's go to the phones. If you want to get in on this, 799-1290. You're listening to WMCS, the talk of the town. Let's go to Diane. Diane, your question or comment on this issue. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chef Clark, and it's wonderful to hear your voice. I'm one of your fans.
Thank you,
because
ma'am.
I called in before and told you I like when you can do what you do, and everybody is treated equally. When there's a problem, you get to the root of the problem, and you've done that. I saw that in you as sheriff. So I'm glad you're doing a great job with the toasting and all this, and I'm not bootlicking or anything. I'm just saying, a man is a man.
Don't worry about it. Thanks for the comment, though. Okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
My comment is this, that with this takeover thing by the mayor's office, I just want to make a comment that there's more than him here in this city, Milwaukee, that can handle budgets and distribute fundings to where they're supposed to go. And when you start saying that he's the only one that could do that, then you create a problem. And I really listened to Corey say that, Corey Netto say that he was the one orchestrated Sheriff, Police Chief Flynn coming to Milwaukee. Well, that was we have people here, too, who could have done just as good as that one. Police chief. I'm sorry, the police chief. So, you know, sometimes we have to try our own before we go out and pull other people from other cities. And that's my comment. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Diane. Corey, your response?
There might be an absolutely outstanding candidate to be our next superintendent right here in our community. And I don't assume that there is not. I assume that the mayor will do will cast a wide net to find the best person to run MPS as his expert. And, you know, it'd be great to have someone from the community. And I don't assume that person's not here. I think As a person who's hired talent, I think it's good to cast your net broadly. And if it's God's will that we find someone here in the community who's best suited for that job, terrific. If the best talent comes from outside the community to get outcomes for our kids in this community, I think that's great too.
Who should govern the school system is a structural question. I think making suggestions of that is a technical fix. I'm more concerned about the adaptive changes that are going to be necessary to turn the school system around, and that's the harder thing. Again, if you want to get in on this conversation, 799-1290, WMCS, the Talk of the Town, Evening Rush. This is Sheriff Clark. Corey, what about the operational changes that are going to be needed at MPS? When I say that, I'm talking about things like parental involvement. I think most people would agree that parental involvement is the key element of how kids are going to do in school. If the parents don't care, the kids won't care. And, you know, how are we going to improve reading scores, math scores, writing ability, college prepared individuals, attendance rates, so on and so forth? I don't see structural changes addressing those more operational issues that are really about behavior. What's your response to that?
I could not agree more that probably the single most important player in a child's education, before you get to the principal and the superintendent and the teacher, the single most important person is the parent. And we've not done a good job now of having significant parental involvement in the education of their children, both having parents in the building and having parents involved in their education before and after they come to school. One of the things that I'd hope is that a national expert in education will come here with additional strategies that help us crack the nut on parental engagement and involvement. And I know both the mayor and the governor and the pieces that they put out there and in their public remarks have said that one of their high priorities, it's always in their top five or six things, is to figure out a way of getting significant parental involvement in the education of their children. And I talk to parents who say, you know, I don't get involved because the building is intimidating, the principals are intimidating, the teachers are intimidating, the district and the bureaucracy when I have to interact with the central administration is intimidating. Whether we think that that's legitimate or not, or that they should be intimidated or not, is irrelevant. That's how those people feel. Perhaps with a different leader, they could help create a culture that was more inviting and more receptive to those parents, so they didn't feel intimidated or put off by the building, by the teachers, by the principals, by the administration. But then aside from that, would figure out ways of really meaningfully engaging those parents and getting them involved in their children's education. And I'd hope that this national expert, one of the things that we would test her on is her ability, her track record, her successes here, elsewhere, and engaging parents, because I think it's the single most important thing to the education of any of our children.
Corey, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm up against the break. We're going to get you back on here. Stay engaged. I appreciate your commitment.
Well, thank you for taking the time. It is the most important issue confronting our community, and I appreciate your giving it some airtime. Thanks for having me on.
1290 WMCS, the Talk of the Town. Stay tuned.
WMCS, the Talk of the Town presents.